While our children are taking their seat, we want to vote. All in favor of a 15-minute extension to the service, say aye. All opposed? I hear none. So we're moving on here. I invite you to take your smart pad or your smartphone, whatever you have there, your Bible, a real Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I prepared a message today, not only for our graduates, for all of us, a verse that really will serve everybody at whatever stage you're at in life. It'll serve you well on this earth. The date was September the 10th, 2015. The memorial for Flight 93 from 9/11/2001 was open. $26 million was spent on this memorial to be a perpetual reminder to us of the 40 passengers on Flight 93 who died on 9/11. You recall what happened. Two planes had already been hijacked by terrorists and flown into the World Trade Center. Then there was a third flight, Flight 93, that was taken over by terrorists. That also had a very strategic target. The passengers realized what was going on, and so they retook that plane. They're some of the real heroes of 9/11. And I want you to know that the terrorist target was not hit that day, but those 40 passengers died. There are three voicemail messages from passengers on that flight to their loved ones. One came from a lady who called a loved one when she knew they were going down. In a very calm voice, she said, "Terrorists have hijacked our flight, Flight 93. Undoubtedly, they've already hijacked two other planes and crashed them into the World Trade Center. We're going down." And then her voice broke. She began to cry. She said, "I called to tell you that I love you and that I'll miss you." That's the end of the voicemail. That's something that took place in 2001, memorialized in 2015. Let's go to the date, September the 8th, 2015. There was a British Airways jet on the runway awaiting takeoff in Las Vegas, Nevada. The plane was absolutely filled. All of a sudden, one of the engines burst into flame right there on the runway. They were in an emergency situation, and most of you who fly know that they have a way to get everybody off the plane by letting down those little air mattress type slides out the sides of the plane. Well, they wanted to deplane in a very orderly fashion down these slides. Now, let me tell you what people did. The passengers were told, do not get your take-on, your carry-on luggage, leave it where it is. But I want you to know a group of the passengers got their carry-on luggage. What happens is when you go down those flotation slides, if that luggage pinches one of those slides, it deflates, then nobody can get off the plane safely. So this group of passengers jeopardized everybody deplaning with an engine on fire. And then they were delayed from deplaning because some people stopped in the doorway before they got on the slide just to snap a few selfies. Now, do you want to call that a generational thing? Back on 9/11, 2001, 40 passengers come forward to take the plane back to save lives on the ground. And in 2015, people are disobeying emergency orders and snapping selfies, jeopardizing the lives of other people that are on board. Today we honor our graduates. And one thing that I want you to do, and I just beg you with all my heart, I want you to memorize Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. I've seen children raised in our children's ministry and then in our youth ministry, and we invest so much in them. Scripture, time, mission trips, love, caring. And when they go to college, they listen to their liberal and lost friends, and they abandon their faith, never to return. Through 37 years of pastoring churches, I have seen adults who are very faithful and active in their church. They walk with God, and then all of a sudden they start missing a service and missing another service and missing Bible study. And then the next thing you know, they've grown cold and they've walked away for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, never to return. And let me tell you the reason for that. Here it is. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." When you no longer seek God first in every area of your life, you're not going to live for Christ. You're not going to stand for Christ. Let's move quickly. If you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, what have you got to do? It's very simple. First of all, I want you to write this down. You've got to walk with God. You've got to have a walk with God. The first part of the day, talk with God. And the Bible says he will direct your path. Look at that first word, seek. That means to seek after something or someone passionately. I got to see Bailey Upton play basketball a few times. And they got in some difficult situations on the way to championships. I watched some of the Forsyth triplets. I've been over to the Pepperell football games. I've been to the Rome High football game. And I'll be real honest with you. At my age, if Jackson Norton playing center would just do his job on fourth and one, I could always pick up 5 yards on fourth and one. But what they're doing is they're giving all they've got. They are seeking victory. And Rome High School actually won a state championship. I've been over to the Pepperell games, and I see you all seeking, just seeking very passionately the victory. Now notice what he says. We're to seek, we're seeking after God. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Look at this very carefully. He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek, that means the way you spend your time, the way you spend your money, your vocation, your school. Everything you do, you got to ask yourself this question. Am I seeking this for his righteousness and for his kingdom? Do you understand how powerful this is? Do you understand that if you were to make sure that everything you did was either for the glory of God's kingdom or it be to express this righteousness, how it would transform your marriage, your work, and your finances? Listen to what King David said. The first step in seeking first the king and his kingdom is to have a walk with God, and that's to begin your day seeking God through prayer. Listen to what David said, Psalm 5:3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In other words, David's praying. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Jesus understood the same thing in Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. First priority in your life, seeking the king and his kingdom. And the way you do that daily is you just get up. Listen, I'm not trying to be legalistic here. It may mean you have to get up 15 minutes earlier in the morning, go to God's word, and talk to God in prayer. Present him your concerns, present your praises, because if you're going to live for God, you've got to begin your day talking to God. Now listen, there's only one place God's interested in having in your life. It's not a place of prominence. It's a place of preeminence. Now look at that word first. It means first in a line of options. There are a lot of choices. There are a lot of decisions you can make. You know, when you get up in the morning, you might just want to get on Twitter. You might want to get on Facebook. You might want to start texting people. No, what he says here, if you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, you need to start your day walking with him, talking with him. Second thing I want you to write down, I must allow God to have his way with my life. Now, how do you know that you really established priority, number one, as your number one priority? How do you know God is number one in your life? How do you really know you have connected with God? There are two keys. Here it is. You know you connected with God and he's first in your life if you're letting him have his will and his way in your life. When you've really connected with God, the most important thing in your life that day will be to make sure that his will and what he wants is done in every part of your life. Notice what he said, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, when I think about kingdom, a lot of people think of that as a territory. You think about going to Florida, to Disney World in Orlando, and we think about Mickey and his kingdom down there. Well, I want you to know, when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're not talking about necessarily a place. We're talking about a lifestyle. And listen to me carefully. Every kingdom has a king. And the only king we worship is King Jesus. And the one thing that we want to do is do the will of God and in his kingdom, and that kingdom is our lifestyle. Now, suppose for just a moment, and some of you don't have a problem with this, that your heart is a throne. Only one of two people are going to be on that throne. Either you're going to be on the throne and do things the way you want to do it, or you're going to let the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, rule and reign on that throne. How do you know if you're really seeking God's rule in your life? Three things. If you're really allowing God preeminence on the throne of your heart, you're going to seek his glory. Everything you do will bring honor and glory to his name. You'll be seeking God's guidance. God, I need your wisdom on this decision that I'm about to make. And the other thing you want is his government in your life, control. Now, especially our graduates, they're saying, hold on here. When do I get what I want? Let me tell you when you get what you want. Listen to me carefully. When all you want in your life is God's desires for your life and God's will for your life, you'll get your will every time. Did you hear what I said? I said, when your heart's desire is for God's will and for God's way for your life, and you're surrendered to that, you'll get what you want every time, because your desires and God's desires are all the same. And now comes the hard part. Do you want to know just how much he really is in control of your life? Keep your eye on two things as you go through life. Number one, your calendar, where you invest your time. Where you invest your time, that's who's king in your life. And number two, where you invest your money. Look at your debit card, your online, and look up your statement there, and you'll see where you're investing your money. Now, a lot of people say, well, I trust Jesus for my salvation, but I don't really trust him with my money. Well, why not? Well, you know, all the Lord says is bring the tithe into the storehouse, 10%. You'll trust your entire soul for eternity for your salvation and security. But you say, now, God, I don't like your system of economics. I'm just not going to give 10%. Well, he says, if you give 10%, I'll see that your barns are just overflowing with blessings that I give you. In other words, God says, I can make your 90% go further than you can make your 100%. And I don't know about you, I don't want to miss any of God's blessings. God, don't let me get in the way. Just bring them on down. Amen? That's what you want to do. So you'll know if Jesus Christ is king of your life, you're seeking him first, by the way you invest your time and the way you spend your money. The last thing I want to tell you here is this. I've got to wear the character of God with my life. Jesus said we're to seek his righteousness. Not only am I on a daily, continuous basis to go after, seek after, desire with everything I have God's control over me, but I want to allow God's character to show through me. By the way, that will naturally happen if you're seeking the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Delaney and I had a strange thing happen on vacation. I'll share more in a minute. We had somebody that we've known for 7 or 8 years down at the beach. They came over and sat down next to us and stayed there for 30 minutes. And when it wasn't anybody from our church, nobody from around here. We saw them the next day and they said, "Do you know why I came over to sit and talk to y'all? Because I knew that y'all didn't use filthy language. And my friends on the beach are always cursing and using filthy language and telling dirty jokes. But I've watched y'all over the 7 or 8 years I've seen you come to this beach, and I've never heard a bad word come out of your mouth." And I looked there and I said, "Oh yeah, this is the no cussing zone right around these two lounge chairs right here." How do people know you? Do they know you for your character? Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." You'll desire to do right, speak right. You'll desire to live right, think right, to act right. Just as much as a hungry man desires food and water, you'll desire the righteousness of God. I know you find this hard to believe, but since I bought a pickup truck, I've had to buy me some Justin work boots. Now, those are the cleanest work boots you've ever seen in your whole life. You understand? I don't like walking in the mud in my Justin work boots. But I've had to buy me some Carhartt carpenter pants. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Those are the kind that got about 8 pockets in them. And then they got a little place there. I think you put a hammer in, but sometimes when I walk by a rail, it just kind of hooks and pulls my leg up like that. Well, right before Christmas, in fact, I ruined my Carhartt pants at Shorter University with our disaster relief and carpenter team. We were painting over there one day, and I just covered it paint. "Dr. Dallas, I'm going to wear those same ruined pants. Work day, when we have another work day, we'll go there and work a week or two painting the dorms up there." But anyway, I went over to Western Wear on North Broad. Everybody know where that is? Now, you know I know what I'm doing in there, don't you? And so if you're familiar with that, they got their main store here, and across the parking lot, they have their Carhartt building. Are you all with me? So I went in there, and there was a young man there, and I said, "Look, I got to have some Carhartts. I need a 3430. And I want the heavy pair for winter, and I want the light pair for summer, because I'm going to be driving my truck year-round to the dump." So I went in and tried these 2 pair on. I came out, and I said, "Man, these fit." And he looked at me. He said, "Now look, man," he said, "our phone lines are down in this location. You've got to walk across the parking lot over here to our main location to pay for your pants." And I thought, now I know what's going to happen. This guy doesn't know me. I said, "You're going to put these in a sack. I'm going to walk out the door, and you're going to start yelling, 'Shoplifter, shoplifter.'" He said, "No, no, no." He said, "Here's what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to go to that shop over there. Here are the pants. Go pay for them." So he put them in a sack. So I go walking across the parking lot on North Broad, taking my life in my hands on North Broad. I walked in there, and there's these little teenage girls in there, and they look about 16 or 17. I walk in, and I laid the bag on the counter, and I said, "The guy over there said his phone line and credit card line are down. I've got to pay here." She said, "Oh, yes, you do." And so she reaches down there, and she scans, and she said, "That'll be $42. And I said, "That's wrong." She said, "What do you mean that's wrong?" I said, "I've got 2 pairs of pants in that bag." She said, "You're kidding." I said, "No, I laid them there on the counter for you." She said, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." She said, "Most people, if I just charged them from one, would go ahead and take the 2 and not pay for the second one." And you know what I thought? this girl might see me officiating at a wedding one day. This girl might have to go to a funeral and I'm officiating there. Suppose I had not turned myself in that day with her mistake. What would she think of my character? Oh, and by the way, look at verse 34. If you will seek him first in his righteousness, he says, and all these things will be added to you. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I was talking to a person, I don't know their name, about one of our church members this week when I was in Florida. I said, he's not doing real well. And this person said, let him know that I'm worrying about him. But what good is that going to do? What good is you worrying about somebody? You know what worry is? Worry is simply saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't believe in your sovereignty. I don't believe you've got my life covered and what's going on. Now remember what I told you in the beginning of this message. If you'll put God where he needs to be, he'll take you where you need to go in life. He'll give you what you need to have. And you put God first today, you're not going to worry about tomorrow. If you don't put God first, that's when you worry. And worry unbalances your priorities. When you start worrying, then your job becomes more important than your family. When you worry, you become more important than other people. What you want will become more important than what God wants, and that's when you're headed for a train wreck. If I could sum all this up, I'd just say, whatever priorities you choose will determine the quality and the productivity of the life God's given you. Don't give God second best. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what your new peers say off at college. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. God illustrated to Delaney and me while we were on vacation how God's always got to be first. We were on lounge chairs next to another couple. This couple was from Alabama. And you know me, I struck up a little conversation. She's 29. He's 7 years older. They have 4 kids. They were celebrating their 10th anniversary. I got their name and address, and I sent them a Total Money Makeover book by Dave Ramsey, and I sent them a devotion book for couples. And here's what the couple said. They said, you know, he said, I'm a fireman and I'm a bricklayer. I work 100 hours a week on an average. She's a stay-at-home mom with a degree from the University of Alabama in accounting. You got to have a degree in accounting to count 4 every day. You got 4 kids. And he said, I'm third base coach on my oldest daughter's softball team. And said, they made it to the playoffs, but we made this trip reservation 6 months ago. And we thought they would lose before they got this far in the playoffs. And said, all my daughter's done is strike out. Said, we left Thursday. They were there sitting next to us on Friday and said, we just got a call. Our daughter hit a home run today, her first home run ever. Well, I saw them a couple days later, told them I was going to send them some books. I said, y'all involved in church anywhere? No, no. It's just so hard to get up. You're getting your kid an education. You're teaching your kids to play softball, which is great. I love sports. But when he started to leave, the young man shook my hand and said, I've enjoyed talking to you. I said, do me a favor. I said, keep teaching those kids how to hit home runs. They're going to be more. And get your children involved in children's ministry and raise some spiritual champions. You know, it's bad to teach a kid how to hit a home run and not tell them how to trust Jesus and go to heaven when they die. I don't understand that. I'm not a parent, so there must be a major disconnect, but I don't understand that. First day we were down at the beach. Now, we're down there to relax, you understand? We go down there before you get out of school, so we don't interrupt your vacation when we see you down there on the beach. You understand what we're doing here? So we're there on the beach, and there's a girl named Mary Ann who's been the manager of beach service for 11 years at the Wyndham. We've been going down there about 8 or 9. Well, Mary Ann and her partner that works there, Adam, they know us. As soon as they see us on the boardwalk, there comes the maze. We're down there with a lot of other senior adults. And we go there because if somebody's on a walker, they take their little four-wheel ATV and go up to the boardwalk and place them in the seat and take them down to an umbrella. So we figure that's like assisted living for our future. So that's why we go there. So I want you to know, we were down there the first day, and we're just sitting there, just a great breeze, and we're just thinking about nothing. And Mary Ann comes down. They're real busy with all the umbrellas and the parasailing and everything else they're selling. She came down and sat down. She had her sunglasses on, and tears were running down underneath her face. We've been trying to lead her to Christ for the last 5 years. She said, "I've come to tell y'all something." She said, "I prayed to accept Jesus as my Savior 2 months ago." She said, "I was walking my dogs." And she said, "I just got a brand new beautiful house a block from the beach." And she said, "One of my neighbors who owns some businesses down here came walking straight up to me, and he looked at me and said, 'God told me to talk to you today and tell you you need to go ahead and say yes to Jesus.'" And she said, "I prayed in the middle of the street." He said, "That man put his hands on me and prayed over me, and he walked away." And she said, "I got a Bible, and I study every night," but she said, "I don't understand what I'm reading." And then she started asking this question. She stayed there for 30 minutes and wept. She said, "I got a joy in my heart that I've never had." She's 46 years old. She's single. She was an MP in the Army. She was a police officer in Hawaii. She's been here for 11 years. I said, "That's not a problem. We'll get you a Bible. We'll get you something you understand." Finally, she apologized after 30 minutes and went back to her hut in sales. The next day, we took off and went to Destin to Lifeway and bought her a Life Principles Bible by Charles Stanley. And some of you have seen the translation, The Message. This girl has no church background at all. She needed something she could understand. So we decided that we'd just give that to her the next day. So we went down there. You got to get the picture, as Larry Munson used to say. I wore my flip-flops this year instead of my sockets and my knee highs. And my feet broke out like poison ivy. I was itching like a hound dog. And so we went down there, swimsuits and all this stuff, and we went to the hut and said, "Listen, we want you to have this." And she started weeping again. And I said, "You don't believe this." I said, "But while we were at Lifeway and buying all this and getting this for you so you can be discipled, she told us her schedule is Friday through Wednesday. She can't go to church because she's not off when church is on." So I called a guy named Robbie Robinson, who's originally from Lyndale, Georgia, who works for the paper plant down in Panama City. He used to be a member here. He and his wife are active at First Baptist Church, Panama City. I called him. I said, "Robbie, hadn't talked to you in a long time, but I need a favor. I need your church to get this lady in a small group on a Thursday night." Guess what? Church has already contacted Mary Ann. They've already emailed. They've already texted me. We've got this. Well, when we gave her this material, I said, "Delaine said that perhaps I ought to baptize you before we leave the beach." And she started crying again. She said, "That's why I kept sitting at your chair for 30 minutes. I wanted to ask you to baptize me in the Gulf before you left. Because she said, I thought you might think you're having to work if you did that. I didn't ask you to baptize me. So at 5:15, Sunday afternoon, we baptized Mary Ann Peacock in the Gulf. We didn't tell anybody what we were doing. We just walked off. And when I was walking in with her, I said, Mary Ann, I hadn't been in the Gulf in 15 years. She said, Dr. May, I hadn't been in here since the BP oil spill. And I want you to know, when I baptized her and brought her up, there were people seated on the beach just having fun. And when they saw what happened, they broke out in applause. She said, I tell you what I want to do. I'm off on Thursdays. I get to take boats out for free. I want to take y'all deep sea fishing and the Shell Island. And Elaine said, whoa, that's what I've always wanted to do. And I thought, Thursday, high winds. Praise God. And we took a rain check. But we invited Mary Ann to our condominium for lunch. We had chicken salad chick for lunch. She brought a backpack and a writing tablet. And she had 6 pages of questions from her Bible. And she asked us questions for 5 hours. The Bible says we're to make disciples. She said, Dr. May, I've been watching your podcast for a week. She said, when I first saw you, I didn't recognize you. I've never seen you anything but shorts and a swimsuit and running around looking casual. She said, but you got on a suit. I had to look twice to even know that was who you were. She said, thank you for coming in my life. I wish you were going to be my next door neighbors. I need the encouragement. We were there to get away. But did we see that as an intrusion? Absolutely not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He'll get you where you need to be, when you need to be there, and accomplish what he wants in your life. To our graduates, you've got a lot of decisions to make. Matthew 6:33 is where you screen every decision. And when you close your eyes to this world, you won't have regrets. Putting first things first. That's all our Lord asks. Will you stand right where you are?